So we're going to talk about integrity, and integrity is so important to me. It's something that I hang my hat on. I want integrity in my life. I'm sure some of you have heard of the Carl Eller Business School at the university. If you ever interview Carl Eller, he says, if you don't have integrity, you have nothing. You have nothing. And I think that's true. We have to have integrity. I remember I left a job. You know, for some of you, just a little background. I was married for 27 years. My husband left. And all of a sudden, I had to feed my family of four and my mom. And I never had a job that paid more than $8 or $9 an hour. And by the grace of God, I'd done a lot of volunteer work, and I got this huge opportunity at a university. I didn't know what I was doing, but I got the job, and I didn't think about anything except working really hard because I had to support my family. But I knew I would never compromise my integrity. So I worked there for about 8 years, and I had to quit because they were starting to lack integrity. So there was this wonderful CEO who picked me up, and I started working there in August, about 3 years ago, 3 years ago. And, you know, it really takes about 2 to 3 years to establish yourself in a new job. So here I am doing my new job, and my best friend gets sick. So I was traveling around and, believe it or not, speaking for a living, even though I can't seem to get that right here, but I was speaking for a living, and I was traveling around, and they said, we have this big meeting we want you to go to, and we want you to talk to 120 admissions counselors. So I said, okay, well, my friend just passed away yesterday, and her funeral is Wednesday, and when am I supposed to be there? They said, Thursday. I said, well, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not missing that. So if I can make it, I'll go. So we buried my best friend on Wednesday, and I had to get on a plane and fly to Las Vegas. So needless to say, I was in a fog. I was sad. I was in a fog. I felt very much alone, and what am I doing here? And I was in Las Vegas, of all places, right? So I remember walking into this room, and there's probably about 120 people in there. They're called admissions counselors. If any of you are familiar with college admissions, that's what they do. Eh, they're glorified salespeople, okay? So, you know, sometimes they can be a little obnoxious. So I go in and I just sit in the front row and I'm kind of, you know, there but not there. And so the COO gets up and he talks and he says, and now we have brought on Joni Hammond and she's going to help us and she's going to do this and that and she has a great presentation. How many of you have heard her presentation? And not one hand was raised in the room. So then all of a sudden I'm sitting there. I didn't care. And this woman in the back says, well, I don't even think she knows what she's doing in front of everybody. And then another gal in the back says, well, I just heard she just tells people to put their name on a piece of paper, and then they don't really care about school. Well, that made me mad because she was questioning my integrity. So my kids say when I'm mad, I flick my hair. So I'm in the front row. She's in the back. I gave her a flick, and I said, don't you ever question my integrity. Now you've crossed the line. You could have heard a pin drop. And the COO says, oh, come on, to the girl. So I was so angry. I was just so angry because that's important to me, is my integrity. I would never do anything to compromise my integrity. So I remember going out to the COO who's standing at the bar, and I said, why didn't you say something? You should have stuck up for me. Why didn't you say something? He's like, those people, oh, Joni, let it roll off your back. But it really bothered me because integrity is important to me. So when I think about integrity, one of the reasons it's important to me is because I lived with a man for 27 years that had no integrity. He was always going with the next get-rich scam and stepping over whoever he had to step over for his grandiose ideas. And as a wife, this was me. Is that legal? Is that moral? Do you feel like that's honest? I drove him crazy. But that was what's important to me, because if you talk with integrity and you work with integrity, you don't ever have to look over your back, right? I mean, when you tell a lie, you usually have to tell 10 more to cover up that lie. And I just don't want to live like that. I don't want drama in my life. I want a peaceful life, because like Jackie said last night, if you're over 50, you're old, right? So, so let's talk about the definition of integrity. Integrity is the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles. It's moral uprightness. I remember when, so my husband had an affair, okay, we're talking about it again. There's not, I don't think that's happened to everybody here, but it did happen, and it's more common than you think. 27 years, he had an affair. We had four kids. I'm Greek, so my mom lives with me in the guest house. And I hadn't made more than $9 an hour, and I thought I have to get a job, right? But this one night when I found out, and I certainly do not promote violence, but I had these great, I had the most incredible white cowboy boots. That might sound funny right now, but they were really in back then. And he was at the front door, you know, and he was just going on and saying a lot of words and not saying anything. Okay, I might fall, but I'm going to try it, okay, because I was 10 years younger, but he just wouldn't shut up, so I just went like this, boom, and kicked him right out the door, and I locked it. So I went in, seriously, don't ever do that, because if he would have called the cops, I would have been arrested. So Adam Parsons used to tell me when he was counseling women who were having men that were treating him wrong and having an affairs and they didn't know if they should leave, he's like, call Joni Hammond. She kicked her husband out with white cowboy boots. I've saved them. I'm thinking about bronzing them like, you know, you do with a baby's shoes. So the next morning I had to go in and tell my mom kind of what was going on, because the locksmith was on his way. And so I went into her house and I said, Mom, you know, Steve's been seeing someone else. And so I asked him to leave. I spared her the kicking out part. I said, I asked him to leave. And she said, I'm going to say one thing to you, and that is keep your integrity and take care of your kids. And those words resonated with me. I just thought, you know what? I'm going to do that. Because a lot of times when that happens to women, they feel like nobody wants me, especially when he went with a really ugly person. It's like they just are like, why? Why did they do that? Nobody wants me, you know? And it's hard because you just think, I just want to know if there's somebody who wants me. Am I that bad? What did I do wrong, right? But I did decide I was going to do that, because I've seen women who just, oh, my husband left, I'm going to go to the bars, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. I didn't want to do anything that wouldn't make my kids proud. So then I told you I got a job at a major university, and I worked really hard. I worked all the time because I had to support everybody. So I didn't think about it. I just thought, this is the season of my life that I have to work hard. So I decided I was going to be better than anybody. I was going to work more hours. I mean, I worked with nurses. So, you know, a lot of times graveyard nurses will call to leave a message at night. I just answered the phone 4 in the morning. Hi, this is Joni. Oh, I'll be right down to the hospital at 2:30 in the morning. But I did what I had to do to feed my family. So all of a sudden, that place where I was working when I got the job there, it was a Christian university, and I had to sign a statement of faith, and they had Christian values, and it was a nonprofit, and then it changed to a for-profit, and they still kind of stayed with the Christian values, but then they became a publicly traded company, and they didn't care anymore. They brought in a CEO who would take all the managers and directors into a room, and he'd say, he'd mock the Bible. Oh, throw the Bible at him. Oh, tell him it says this in the Bible. And then he would stand there and berate all of us. And everybody knew, don't sit in the front row, because he yells so much you'll get spit on you if you're in the front row. And I would just sit in the back. He'd ask questions. And I remember sitting next to a dean saying, he doesn't really want the answer. He just wants to hear himself talk. So I just hid in the back, and I managed a team of people, and I say, this is what they want today, but we know what works, and so we're going to continue to do what works. And what worked was do the right thing. Do the right thing for the student, and the numbers will take care of themselves. Sometimes at this new school that I'm at, I'll go in and those admissions people who will say anything to get anybody to do anything, they'll be lying, and then these students raise their hands and tell me what they've heard in their lies. So my job is to go in there and get them a bunch of students that they can call in and talk to, and I motivate the students to go to school. And then sometimes these people who are really smarmy, when I leave, they have less enrollments than they had when I came in because I say, nope, that's not true. You don't need to. Nope, this school isn't the best school for you. You need to go to this school because I care about the students. So I'm going to do the right thing no matter what. And I haven't been questioned about that. When I think about integrity in speech, the other day I was at work and there's a woman there. She always looks nice. She's a little bit older. She used to be in the clothing business. And I look forward to see what she's going to wear every day because she always looks nice. So she stopped by my office. She had on this beautiful floral dress. And I was talking about it. I said, that's a beautiful dress, Deb. I really like it, and it looks great on you. You look stunning. And here comes this woman who pretty much always says the wrong thing. Do you know what I mean? They just say the wrong things. And when she's coming, I always see everybody at work like, oh, no. She's kind of like a bull in a china cabinet. And I keep saying, okay, God, I'm going to be your friend. And then every time I do something, I'm like, why did I do that? But I'm going to still get her disarmed. But anyway, so we're sitting there talking about the dress, and she walks up, and I said, hey, Laura, I said, isn't Deb's dress beautiful? She said, it looks like a 1950s tablecloth to me. But we just looked at each other and went, that's Laura. That's what she does. It wasn't Laura Shackart, but she was like. So many years ago, when I decided I wanted, I met somebody. I was a new Christian who told me a story about reading the Proverbs every day. So that was probably about 30 years ago, and that's something that I put into my prayer life every day. So there's 31 Proverbs, and as some of you know who did the countdown with us, there's a proverb for every day of the month, except for those June, December, whatevers. But so I do that. That's a practice I do every morning because it has the wisdom in how to take care of your kids, how to take care of your marriage, how to act in your job. It's like everything's there. It's almost like a little handbook on how to work, how to have kids, how to have a marriage, right? So I started doing that 30 years ago. And tell me, what other book can you do that for 30 years and have a new revelation every time you read it? I'm not saying I'm perfect. I do miss some, but I just pick back up on the day of the month. I would highly encourage you to do that. I had several people who did the countdown that said, I had no idea how rich the Proverbs were. But they truly are. They're rich. So we're going to talk about integrity in relationships, integrity in the workplace, and integrity in our speech. So throughout the book of Proverbs, Solomon begins with statements like, my son, pay attention to what I'm telling you. My son. So it is like a handbook for our children, right? Solomon's words on being faithful in marriage in Proverbs 5, 18 through 20, it says, let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth as a deer in a graceful doe. Let her breast satisfy you at all times and always be enraptured with her love. For why should you, my son, be enraptured by an immoral woman and be embraced in the arms of a seductress? Throughout chapter 5, Solomon encourages young men, stick with your first wife. Enjoy the blessings of a monogamous marriage and the family relationships the way God designed them. Well, Solomon should know. Did you know that Solomon had 700 wives and 350 concubines? How do you do that? That's crazy, but I'm not thinking he liked it so much. Because from his experience, he gave this advice. Drink water from your own cistern. In other words, stay home and enjoy your family. That's great advice for us women too, right? Unfaithfulness can be a trap for women. Over the years, I've counseled many women who are in adultery. Satan is really good at making the grass look greener. Let me warn you from personal experience. Adultery's ripple effect is so far-reaching. You have adultery, you get a divorce. That man might not ever talk to his kids again if he doesn't do it right. Your friends are affected because you do things as couples. Your relatives are affected. It's so far-reaching, the devastation of adultery. We must be armored to respond with integrity when Satan's temptations come. I remember I was talking to a woman who traveled like I do, and she was telling me she was at a hotel. So you can imagine women who travel for business, this looks a little bit like our life. We come to a hotel. This place gets totally taken over by God when we're here. But if you came on Thursday, there's men in the bar, there's men everywhere. So this woman was traveling. She was probably in a hotel similar to this, and she said she looked up, and it was the best-looking man she had ever seen. She said the attraction was just like, oh, my gosh. And he felt it, too. So he comes over to her, and he says, you feel it, don't you? You feel it. Me and you. Me and you. She was married, and she said, I'm not kidding, Joni. I'd never seen a better-looking man in my life. And she said, in Jesus' name, get behind me, Satan. You know what the guy said? It's gone. You just ruined it. We have to guard our hearts, right? So guess what? We talk about adultery, and you might say, I would never, 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 never do that. But what about emotional affairs? Okay, here, you know, there's so many classics when it comes to sin. Like, if you talk to a man who's divorced, he'll tell you everything bad about his wife. It's like, seriously, can one of you come up with an original story? But this is the common one for women. Oh, he listens to me. He understands me. He laughs at my jokes, and he makes time for me. He makes time for me. I really feel heard when I'm with him. Well, of course you do, because it's new, right? If you think about when you were dating, you're just on your best behavior, right? You're not going to tell the truth. Okay, my husband, my first date, my nice husband, the one I have now, on my first date, he said, let's go to sushi. I hate sushi. I went, okay. So he's like, have you ever been? Oh, only a couple times. Oh, I'm so happy I get to be the first one to really take you and teach you how to eat real sushi. Like, I'm thinking California rolls, Vegas rolls, you know. So we go, we sit down, he's like telling me how to use the chopsticks. I'm like, can you just get me a fork? And so I'm eating it, like I'm eating eel and everything. I'm like so disgusted. And he's like, what'd you think? I said, it was great. So it took me 1 year. I faked liking sushi for 1 year. And then one day, okay, so we got married, so things got a little more real. I said, listen, I hate sushi, okay? I was raised in Arizona. We don't eat fish here, you know. We eat burgers, okay? So I don't want to go out for sushi anymore. And then I remember one time I went to his house when we were dating. We had a very short courtship because, you know, we wanted to get married. But so I'm at his house. My husband's an animal expert, so that means he relocates wildlife. So he has a room full of rattlesnakes and Gila monsters and Colorado toads. And all this. So I remember walking into his house, and it was like, holy smokes, what is that smell? I'm like, God, that's disgusting. And he says, does it smell in here? I'm like, no. No. I was just like, how am I going to do? I'm like putting things over my face. I'm like, no, it's fine. It's fine. We do now have those snakes and all those critters in our house, and they never smell. And it might be because I'm like, clean the snakes. Clean the snakes. It smells like poo in here. Just clean the snakes. So when we are in a new relationship, that's what we do, right? We're on our best behavior, and everybody's nice, and everybody says it, and you laugh at all their stupid jokes, and you do all that stuff. And that's okay because it's giddy and it's new. But the real marriage comes with the commitment, right? When you say, I'm committed to this marriage no matter what. And the jokes might not be so funny or anything else, but it's actually better because it's more honest and it takes you into a deeper level, right? Okay, let's see where I am. Okay, so I'm not going to ask you, because I know that every one of you is holy in this room and would never watch a show like The Bachelorette or something like that. But for research purposes, I did have to watch it a couple of times. My husband comes in the room and he says, why do you have this garbage on TV? Someone has to pray for them. And I said, I'm doing research for my teaching at the retreat. Just go in the other room if you don't want to see this. But you want to hear something really funny? I went out of town, and it was like getting to a finale. And I came home, it was recorded, and I turned it on because I had some more research to do. And my husband says, oh, you know what happened? I saw this. He watched the whole thing. But the thing that cracks me up about The Bachelorette, I think I just watched a new one called In Paradise or something. So they like make out with everybody. It's like, I don't think that's healthy, but they do that. And then they're in love. And then you see the girl being interviewed and she's saying, oh, you know, I see a future with him and having kids with him. And this has been the best time of my life. And then, you know, he decides, well, do I want to continue this after Paradise? And so he goes and has the talk. Another very original thing men do. Like, I think you're a great person. Like, honestly, I've never met anyone like you. But it's just not really happening for me. And all of a sudden, that girl who loved him so much, it goes from love to hate in 5 minutes. I just watched one the other day, and she's like, get away from me. I hate you. I hate you. So we might not live in a reality show, but just remember that those commitments come and stay, and that's what makes a real marriage. We must keep our integrity, steer clear of situations that make us vulnerable. You have no business talking to men about your problems. Stop it. Stop it. Okay, let's see. The message of integrity in relationships is not just aimed at those who are married. I want to talk to you single women for a minute. I know what it's like. I know what it's like. I was single for 7 years, just felt total rejection from my husband, and I wanted to meet a man. I know what it's like to be lonely. I know what it's like to want someone to come alongside you and take care of you and help you make money and support your family. I know what it's like to wake up in the morning alone. But I said to God, Lord, if you want me to be alone, I'll do it. Because all I want to do is be in your will. So if you want me to be alone, I'll do it. But just take these feelings away. Because my feelings right now are telling me I want to be married. Not to that other guy. I was glad to get rid of him. But to somebody with integrity. And I said, but Lord, no matter what, I will not compromise. But I don't know if I'm strong enough to do it, God. So you're going to have to open doors and close doors. But I trust you. I will not settle for a man who doesn't love God with all his heart and who does not have integrity. I won't do it. God was faithful because he brought me a man that has so much integrity. I never worry about him compromising, ever. Sometimes I'm like, you know, you can take that off on your taxes. No, I'm not doing that. He's just that kind of a man. You know, when I look back at that 7 years alone, I mean, Kristen and I were talking about this one day. It was solitude more than it was loneliness. It was solitude. And I invite you, if you're single, to enter into that solitude with the Lord, because it's amazing. Don't settle. So you just say that prayer. Say that prayer to God. Bring me the man you want, because I won't settle, and I think he's faithful, because that would be God's will for you to be with a man with integrity. So don't compromise. You're going to hear me say that a million times. You know, you can be like, well, he's not a believer, so I'll just be his friend. I did that. Doesn't work. I remember one time I was dating a guy, and I kind of liked him, but he wasn't a Christian, and then I would hold on to anything he'd say. This is what we do. And I remember I was with him somewhere, and I said, why does the dirt look like that? Because it was a funny color. It was back east somewhere. And he said, because that's the way God made it. And I thought, oh, there's hope. There's hope. But that would have been a huge mistake for me to be involved with him. So Proverbs 4:25 through 27 says, let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right. Do not turn to the left. Remove your foot from evil. So you know what that means? You're married. You walk straight ahead. If you're not married, you're with Jesus. You walk straight ahead. You don't go around looking. Is he looking at me? Does he like me? Don't let your eyes wander. Keep your eyes straight ahead and be wise about where you walk. Proverbs 12:4 says, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who causes shame is like rottenness to his bones. Sexual sin is not worse than any other sin, but its consequences are far more damaging and farther reaching than any other sins. So we'd be amiss not to talk about our children when we're talking about relationships. Our kids are watching us. They don't do what we say, they do what we do. Proverbs 27 says, the righteous man walks in integrity. His children are blessed after him. When we are lacking integrity, our kids are going to miss a certain blessing. They need to see and hear us having an attitude of, Lord, whatever you say, I will do. You know what? Integrity protects us from sin. It does. I have seen my son struggle with integrity after having a father who lacked integrity. Their father went to church and said the right things, but his behavior reflected opposite. He was double-minded. In James 1:8, it says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Double-minded means two souls. It's like one set on God and one set on the world. That causes instability for your kids. Kids are smart. They see through double-mindedness, and they will eventually lose respect. Proverbs 10:9 says, he who walks with integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will become known. It's always exposed. If you're not walking in integrity, it will be exposed. So my kids watched their dad do this for many years, and it was exposed. He talks to one out of four of his kids. The rest have nothing to do with them. He sued his own son because he's so greedy. Some of you might be thinking, oh, great. I fail as a parent all the time. I say one thing and I do another. Now my kids are really going to be a mess. I admit I have not done everything right. That is for sure. But my kids have seen me longing to desire to walk with the Lord. They know I fear him. They know I love him. And they know I want to please them. I cling to Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way they should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That comforts me. That comforts me because it doesn't say do everything right and make no mistakes. It says train in the word. And it also says when they are old. I just figured that out. So my kids might be like 60 or 70. But they will come back, right? I have hope. Another translation for he will not depart from it is he will not get away from it. Don't you love that? I love that when my kids mock me. My boys, my girls are walking with God, but my boys aren't. And they love to mock me. All of a sudden, I'll look on my son's Facebook, which just, I cringe every time I do it. But he's like, has things that are like from my house, like a picture of Jesus, and he's mocking it. And he does that when I'm not, you know, he comes and borrows it and does these videos. It makes me sick. But another translation, for he will not depart from it, is he will not get away from it. And that's the truth. We have planted those seeds, ladies. We have planted those seeds in our kids, and they're not going to get away from it. That brings me great comfort. I know if I just asked right now, how many of you have a prodigal child or kids who are not walking with God? Can we just see you? Be encouraged. Be encouraged. Our job is to love them no matter what. We love them if they're gay. We love them if they're doing drugs. We love them if they're making bad decisions. And we still speak the truth to them because they already know that's what we think. But we love them and we pray for them and we get our friends to pray for them. And you need those kind of friendships that you can say, my kid really blew it. If I told you some of the things my boys have done, especially young moms, because we always, when we're young, we think our kids are going to be perfect. Guess what? They're not. But be honest about it. None of us has a perfect family. And if anyone in here tells you they do, they are lying and they're lacking integrity. So now that's what we talked about, relationships, right? Integrity in relationships. Let's talk a little bit of integrity in the workplace. You know, if you work for any kind of a corporation, is there anyone in here who works for a corporation? Okay, sometimes there's not very much integrity there, right? So I told you before that I was at this university, and I always said to my team, Corey worked for me, she could probably vouch for me on this, I say, when they ask me to compromise my integrity is the day I'm gone. So this wonderful, amazing Christian CEO offered me a job. And for 3 years, he kept offering me a job. Just kept saying, I want you to come and work for me. And I just was afraid. I was afraid to make that change. But I married Mark, and he said, you work 80 hours a week. He said, you know, you have no free time. And I said, well, you know, there's a man who's pursuing me to work for him. I said, maybe I should talk to him. He said, do it. Says, okay, I'm going to put out a fleece, and I'm going to send an email and say, hey, you free for lunch? And he answered in 5 minutes. And so I went and had lunch for him, and I just started telling him, I can do this, and I work 80 hours a week, and I can do this, and I can do that, and I can do all these things. And he said, well, first of all, I would never allow you to do that. You're not going to work more than 40 hours if you work here. And he said, are you asking for a job? I said, I don't know. I said, remember that girl who didn't make that much money? Well, she makes this much now, so I added $2,000 to it. I said, can you? He goes, no problem. I'll give you 2 weeks upfront paid vacation. I'll give you a signing bonus. When do you want to start? I'm going to be out of town for about 2 weeks. But when do you want to start? We need to get you off that treadmill. I didn't even know what to say because that was the opposite of how I'd been being treated. But this man, his father started this business 40 years ago. And this man, his father was poor, and his goal was to feed his family and to meet a need that wasn't being met. And he would walk around, this man, he was an older gentleman, he'd walk around the school, and sometimes he'd hear girls saying, I don't have enough money to get to work. I don't have enough money for the bus. I don't have clothes. So he started a food pantry. He started a clothing pantry. And magically, these women would always, the money would show up to get them where they needed to go. That's what kind of a man he was. It's now a multi-million dollar company. They have 17 schools across the company. And his son has carried that same integrity throughout. And it's the motto of people first. So that's quite a change for me to go working there. Because if we think about it in a corporation, you know, what you're used to is scheming, unethical ways to prosper. You're seeing backstabbing, gossiping, schmoozing, political jockeying in the workplace. The whole idea is to make tons and tons of money to be the best. For a lot of people, their jobs become their identity. We put all our security in that. Our job shouldn't, our identity shouldn't be in a job. I just met a woman recently. She was the manager of the respiratory department at University Medical Center. And in one day, they said, pack your box and go after 22 years of service. And I saw this woman, because I dealt with her as when she was a manager, and she was very confident. She managed this team. And I was doing some mock interviews with her, and she was like question mark woman. And she was talking about her job, and I just turned to her. I said, Cheryl, is that where your identity is in your job? I said, don't you know a job is a tool to feed your family? I said, that's not who you are. I said, buck up. Be that person I met that scared me when I walked in there. I said, don't let them take away your dignity. Don't. Our identity isn't supposed to be in our job. It's a tool to feed our family. People get sick from overworking. They're overstressed. It's terrible. And I think it's especially hard for women trying to prove themselves in the business world. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about our speech. In Proverbs 8, 6 through 9, it says, listen, for I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things. For my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. They are plain to him who understands and right to those who find knowledge. John Corson tells a story about an astronaut. His name was Michael Collins, and he said the average man uses 25,000 words a day. A woman uses 30,000. He said, the problem is I use mine at work, and my wife waits to use hers till I come home. So I have a husband who gets up early. He's an early morning. He's up. He's chipper, and I'm more of a late night gal. So he goes to sleep about 8 or 9 at night, and about 10 I'll say, honey, you want to talk? He'd be like, oh, God, no, please. I don't want to talk. I'm like, okay, I'll just go watch The Bachelorette. But then in the morning, I can hear him vacuuming at like 4:30 in the morning and banging dishes and talking to the bird and doing all these things. And he comes and he's like, honey, I brought you your coffee. You want to talk? I said, no, leave me alone. I don't want to talk. So it's true. We use a lot of words, don't we, every day. Sometimes I speak for a living. So sometimes when I come home, I'm like, I have no words. I've used my total allotment for the day, so we can't talk. James writes in 1:19, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak. Proverbs 10:19 says, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. But he who restrains his lips is wise. I use that at work all the time. I'll be in board meetings and people are blah, 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 blah. I just sit back and observe. And then I wait till they ask me what I think. Okay, so in Proverbs 18:21, it says death or life are in the power of the tongue. We could actually do a whole weekend on this, but I have to give you the abbreviated version. Two important keys in these scriptures. The tongue is extremely powerful, and we must be wise about the words coming out of our mouth. In Proverbs 10:19, it says, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. I said that before. I guess I needed to repeat it. Proverbs 18:21 says, death or life are in the power of the tongue. When we look in the Proverbs and it talks about six things that God hates, two of them are about the way we talk. A lying tongue, one who spreads strife, which is gossip. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. It can lift you up or tear you down. Proverbs has so much to say about the tongue. The tongue, mouth, lips, and words occur over 150 times in the Proverbs. Proverbs 15:2 says, the tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of a fool pours forth foolishness. My favorite, Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Have you ever been talking to someone and they just keep raising their voice to gain control? They start raising it. They might stand up to be over you, and they think that's how they're going to get control. But guess what? We have the secret. A soft answer turns away wrath. If you ever notice, if someone's yelling at you and you answer back in a soft voice, it disarms them. I think that's interesting. Okay. We need to talk about how do we speak to our loved ones, our husbands, our kids, our mothers, our fathers. Do we talk with respect? Do we listen with respect? Do you treat your husband like you used to? Oh, yes, honey, I'll go for sushi. Do you? You know, I was talking to my daughter. She comes over. She has my granddaughter. They come over every weekend, and I had her helping me run errands, and I was asking her about this. She's been married 2 years. I said, do you ever say mean things to your husband? She said, well, we're in the car. Sometimes I just say, you're so annoying. You know, she's kind of like a valley girl. You're so annoying. And her husband says, babe, can you just be nice? And then it makes her feel bad. Sometimes he says, you're annoying too. We have to be careful. Sometimes we're overly comfortable with our loved ones, and we stop giving the best of ourselves to the ones we love the most. Oh, what about speech on social media? You know what I have to do? About once a week, I go through and I look at everything that's on my timeline, and I delete, because somehow I'm tagged in things, probably from my son and other people, but I don't want that stuff on my Facebook. So I take it off. Think about what you put on Facebook. Pictures of you and your friends, that's awesome. But how does that make people feel who don't have friends? Oh, I'm working out every day. Betty Jo, Salinas. Well, we're gonna give her a break because she has ugly workout shoes. But, you know, the thing is, that's great that she's doing that. But what about people who are in chronic pain? What about us? I am a woman who lives in chronic pain. There's a lot of things I can't do. And sometimes when I see stuff like that, I think, I wish I could do that. So let's just think about what we put on there. Is it edifying? Is it going to make people grow? Or is it going to make them feel sad? Think about it. So we want to be kind, loving, honest, and upright. Surely I'm not the only one who's been lied to, talked badly about, times of being misled or lied to instead of straightforward truth. Surely I'm not the only one who's stretched the truth or engaged in gossip, said one thing or meant another. Proverbs 12:18 says, there is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. The NIV puts it this way, the words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Perhaps you can remember a time when you felt like someone's words pierced you. I remember when I was going through my horrific divorce, and before we went to voicemail messages, I said something to him. I said, well, you know I'm a good mom. He said, you're the worst mom I've ever met. You're extremely manipulative, and you are a terrible mom. And I said, this is the last time you will ever talk to me. And I hung up that phone, and I bawled because I pride myself on being a good mom. My kids are my life. But you know what I think he was doing? I think he wanted to say the meanest thing he could possibly say to me, and that was it. So maybe because he was hurt and he was angry, so it's okay. I just released that to God. Conversely, perhaps you can think of a time when someone's word promoted healing to you. I can tell you guys, when we put on a retreat like this, for 8 months we work and we study and we pray and we have to know. God makes us apply to our life what we're going to teach you. And I will tell you, all of these leaders, all these teachers, all of these women involved in this retreat are sources of encouragement. That's what we do. We just encourage each other the whole time. And when you feel like it's not going anywhere, they assure you that it is. And we do that for each other, and that's the way it's supposed to be. So this is just a reminder to us to speak with integrity, with words that heal, not words that pierce, words that are true, kind, and loving, One of my favorite proverbs is Proverbs 25:11. And I'm going to end with that. And let's just really think about that. It says, words fitly spoken are like apples of gold in settings of silver. I mean, think about that. Gold apples in silver. That's beautiful. I looked for them. I looked for them for 2 months trying to bring you an apple of gold in setting of silver. But that's how I want my speech to be. I want them to be words fitly spoken like apples of gold, settings of silver. Let's pray. Father, we want to be women of integrity, God, because integrity points to you, and it's something everybody notices. When I think about my husband, Lord, I think about, I've never heard anyone say one negative thing about him, and that's because he walks in integrity. And that's the woman I want to be. He inspires me, Lord. So I want to be a woman with integrity. We all want that because we know there's great wisdom and integrity. Lord, we just love you and we praise you and we worship you and we give you this weekend. And Lord, I just want to take a moment right now to pray for all of our unsaved kids, our prodigal kids. And Lord, I want you to bring to their remembrance the godly wisdom that we have given them. And I want them to see God in us every day in our actions. And God, we just pray that you will help us to do that. And we're clinging to the proverb that says they won't get away from it. And when they are old, they won't depart. So Father, I just lift up all the kids, all the prodigals in this room that aren't walking with you. And I pray for a miracle, God, that we could all see them walking with you before we go to heaven. In Jesus' name.